Good morning, PCC. I want you guys to be excited. We have a great guest today. His name is Julio Diaz, all the way from San Bernardino, California. His company name is AG Professional Cleaning Services. He has 4 years in it, and his services are post-construction, trash outs, windows, commercial cleaning, and much, much more. Welcome, Julio.
Hey, thank you, Chief. Thank you for having me on the show.
All right, man. I know you're excited and pumped up to be on the show. I'm going to start just nailing you with these questions, man.
Yes, sir. I'm ready for them.
Okay, so first question, right? What is the biggest project to date in square feet?
The biggest project has been at Walmart that I did last year. It was 180,000 square feet.
Wow.
We did the high ceiling dusting. I guess we were cleaning it before the painters went in there and painted the ceiling. It took us a month and a half to finish. To this date, that's the biggest project. I'm still looking for more projects like that.
That's pretty tough finding the bigger ones like that, right?
Yeah, it is. It really is. There's more requirements as far as insurances.
That's right.
Payroll. You have to be more prepared. You have to buy a lot of things, prepare yourself. Preparation is the biggest thing.
Oh, I totally understand that, man. That's one of the biggest things that I tell people is that if you don't prepare, you're going to fail eventually,
Yes, sir.
Okay, so let me ask you another question, right? Give us just a quick overview of how you started your company, AG Professional Cleaning Services.
I was in sales before. I did door-to-door. So the selling just came naturally to me. But I did some research as far as this industry, the cleaning industry, and I just didn't like the whole, residential part of things. So I looked into a little bit more into the commercial part, and janitorial, it's good, keeps you busy, but I was intrigued by the construction industry and saw how much construction industry was going to grow within the 2013 to 2016, saw the numbers and jumped right into it, and I haven't looked back ever since.
That's cool. Like, a lot of people don't even look how big. That just goes to show me that you do a lot of research and preparation. A lot of people don't even look to see how much the industry that they work in is going to expand.
Exactly. And that's important, especially, if you're going to go into any industry, know what kind of numbers or what kind of numbers are out there for you and what kind of slices of pie you can get out of it.
Hey, man, I'm glad you said slices because some people think they can get the whole pie.
Oh, man, no.
Yeah.
You can get the whole pie if you do it as a group.
Exactly. And I want to say something. That's pretty cool that, you're in the group and you're networking with people to get other jobs. I really look upon that. I really like that, because a lot of stuff that we see is that people, they're not trying to help each other. And that's not what we're in this industry for. And we're going to change that.
Yeah, no, I notice that a lot in the group. There's a lot of people in the group that just don't actually comment or anything. They're just, those ghost writers. They just want to see what's going on.
It's okay,
so, we actually need to weed those people out and actually network with the people that are actually helping out others grow. And like I said before, the sun comes out for everybody, and we should be able to, provide our knowledge to everybody else. It's not like the end of the world or anything like that. So,
gotcha. So, all right. So, Julio, I know that this is an interesting question I'm about to ask you, but what made you choose post-construction cleaning? You might have said it in the other question, but what made you really say, I'm going to go into post-construction cleaning?
The post-construction cleaning business is not saturated as other businesses. There's a lot of competition, but if you innovate your company and you prepare yourself, there really isn't much competition, especially if you're in a, you know, specific area where it's growing.
Mm-hmm.
You could definitely take this business up to, you know, the sky. Sky's the limit, to be honest with you.
Mm.
My ultimate goal is actually to try to take it across the nation, at least with 15 to 20 states. But, you know, obviously that's an ultimate goal.
Yeah. So, okay. Wow. That's big, man. So you really want to expand your business. You want to set up shop in different states.
Yes.
Wow.
And I'm glad I found this group because you guys are going to help me make it happen.
I think we're going to help each other. I think we're going to help all of us make that happen.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. No, yeah, no, definitely.
You know?
Just because I just recently got a lead from one of the guys in there. And, you know, it's actually a pretty big project if I was to be able to close this deal.
I seen that, and you know what? That's another thing that I think I should work on making a video or some type of informative worksheet where people need to know that if they're gonna get bigger projects like the one you mentioned, they need to have some of the certifications, credentials, to be able to get those jobs done. Because we can get leads, but if we don't have the right paperwork, it's really not gonna help.
Right. The biggest thing is the paperwork. I'm actually backed up maybe about a week or 2 weeks with paperwork, just because I don't have an assistant or administrative assistant here helping me out with, email my insurance agent, getting certificate holder names and all that stuff. So I try to, manage my time around all that.
I totally understand that, man, because without an assistant, you are the complete business. You know?
Yeah. We're like the Ken and the Barbie, We do it all.
Wow. You're one package deal. Okay. So let me see. All right. What have you struggled, like you mentioned the biggest project. I just wanted to know like one of the biggest things you struggled just on your biggest project to date. And how did you overcome that?
You know, the biggest thing I've struggled with is reliable people. And, obviously the reliability of people and obviously, payment, waiting on that payment and being able to pay people on time.
Okay.
Just because of the system that I have in place on how I pay people. But other than that, it's just, opening up the business, I guess, is the easiest.
Okay.
But, having the reliable people is the hardest thing.
So cash flow is one of the things I heard, and another thing I heard was reliable workers. So how many people do you have working for you right now at any given time?
At any given time, it depends. I mean, depending on the project, I could have up to 30 to 40 people. And
okay.
If not, then on average, I have 4 to 5 people on each project.
Okay. So do you sub out a lot of your work, or they are your workers?
Depending. Like I said, it really depends. It depends if it's a government job.
Okay.
Or if it's not a government job, then I could definitely sell out the work. But it really depends on the project and the numbers on what I throw out on that project.
Okay, so you've gotten government jobs before then?
I've just gotten one government job.
Okay.
So it's just, luckily it was a small one, but yeah, it's job.
Hey, man, that's an experience. I've never done a government job or prevailing wage job, and I think
they're a headache, man.
Are they really? Tell us about the headache.
Small one, so.
Oh, wow.
The biggest thing, it's a lot of paperwork. You have to get your paperwork certified. You have to have, you have to turn in your payroll journal.
Oh, wow.
As far as on what you paid the people. You have after certain, and luckily mine it was a 2-day job, so it didn't really go over the 40 hours. But had it gone to 40 hours, I would have had an apprentice on the job site, and it is just a lot of other things.
So basically, what I'm hearing is that you have to have a structure. You sort of have to put certain people in place. Recreate yourself in a way, but just delegate those parts of the business, your business, to get everything done in a fast manner.
Yes, and a lot of in this business, you have to have a lot of delegation. You have to master that, and everything else should be fine. You know how to delegate.
Did you have an issue in the beginning to delegate certain things? Did you think you had to, like,
you know what,
watch over them?
In the beginning, my biggest, obstacle was the cash flow, you know.
Okay.
I had an awesome crew. I had a very awesome crew, and I'm trying to get them back.
Gotcha.
I'm trying to get them back, but it just, you know, the crew that I had was just tearing. We were going through projects like if it was butter.
Gotcha.
You know, it was really good, but it's just, you know, the cash flow is the biggest thing, you know.
I see that with a lot of people. I recently seen someone talk about that in the group, and you know, sometimes, like what I read for their solution, sometimes you just tell the contractor or the owner of the company that's building it, you just add, hey, listen, I have a cash flow problem. I can get this done, you know, like it said, and you just work on that, you know, because.
Yeah, and that's what I'm working on right now. I'm asking for 8% down. I want to see how that goes.
Okay. I was going to mention that.
Yeah, I'm asking for a percentage down to see how that goes. I'm going to just do that on big projects, maybe over the $15,000 mark. I'm
gotcha.
Going to try to do that, and I'll do the other ones. And, you know,
hear me out, Julio. Like, when I was in construction, that's one of the things that we did when I was a project manager. We asked for 33% of the pay up front. You know, I've done that on post-construction cleaning as well now. It just depends on if they agreed to the terms or not, as long as it's in writing. Because you do need that cash flow to get through a certain date, you know, and the material. And if they have an issue, just tell them, this is for material, this is for this, and just state it. You know, I know you know how to do that.
Break it down.
Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, I hope that helps, and I hope that you try that and you actually win with this bid, putting that in there.
Yeah, no, I definitely did. So we'll see.
All right, let me see. You said you do have employees. You're trying to get them back. Tell me a typical day for you while you're going through your plans. Like, you know, from the beginning, maybe the night before, do you put everything away? Do you load your truck up? Do you do your invoices? You know, tell me a little bit about how you set up your days.
It really depends. I mean, if I have, for example, this week, I have like three projects going on.
Mm-hmm.
Three of them, which I have to be in at the same time.
Wow.
So that's where the delegation, you know, comes in. And I already have a crew where I know if I just let them at that job site, that job site's already taken care of. The other two is I have to be more involved,
mm-hmm.
just because of the simple fact that I, you know, these customers, they like to see me there.
Wow.
So it's gonna take me maybe, well, the majority of my time is driving, so
mm-hmm.
it's gonna take me maybe one job site is one. Let's say, what kind of example I can use? Well, they're 2 hours apart, so I have to drive. I have from my house, well, from the office to the job site, it's an hour and a half to one job site, and then from that job site, I have to drive maybe 2 hours without traffic.
Wow.
To the other job site, so it's just, you know, I have to delegate and that, and that's what I have going on this week. And it usually runs around like that. If once I get, once it's peak time, then I work maybe 17 hours a day, 18, and sometimes even 20, depending on what kind of projects I have going on.
Got you. Let me ask you something, because I know I'm going to post the photos when I make this video, when I make this podcast. What is your favorite job that you've completed, like you're really proud of? And just give us a little more background about the job. The project.
You know what? I take pride on all my work.
Gotcha.
Just because of the transformation that it does. You know, from, you know, just an average person could walk into any of these job sites and see nothing but trash and just walk out and never look back. But I look at it as a challenge and how it transforms from seeing all the dust and you know, seeing it on the walls and actually walking around after you're done.
Wow.
I mean, you're just walking around and seeing your transformation and your work and your leadership on how everything gets done, and, you know, you're seeing all the little minor details after all the dust is gone, and like, oh, you're never finished. I mean, I personally say after everybody leaves, you know, after everybody leaves the job site, you know, I personally stay there and just start doing more details, you know, into it. And I take pride on all my work. I don't have not one in particular, you know, because I take pride on all of my work, and, you know, it doesn't matter on which one it is. It's just whether it's subbed out to me or if it's, you know, if it's my own or if I'm helping someone out, then I take pride on what I'm doing.
Well said, man. Well said. All right. So how do you think your company is changing the cleaning industry?
You know, the biggest thing is the way I look at these things, I walk in there and I detail them out. I don't want to clean, because anybody can do cleaning. Anybody can just go in there and wipe off, you know, the dust. But can they really wipe under the tables? Can they remember to wipe down under the tables, under the cabinets? You know, because you're not just wiping one surface. You're wiping all surfaces, corners, everything. And, you know, not a lot of people can actually do that. And, you know, and that's the biggest thing, you know. If you could have a set crew where you can make them a specialist just on that, then, you know, then you're not going to have an issue. But if you're having different people every so often, then that's going to, you know, that's where you're going to have somebody that's going to detail right after them, you know.
So let me ask you something. Do you think it's really important to know materials and certain chemicals for this industry?
You know what, it really is, because the concentration on certain chemicals, you're going to have to know on how to dilute them.
Mm-hmm.
And on what to use on certain areas. I mean, when I first started out, I was being subbed out.
Gotcha.
And they would just send me out there. And I ran into so many issues that made my days longer, which I appreciate now, because now when I walk into a job, into a job site, it's just, you know, it's cake. And
yeah.
I bring in subs that say they've been working for 15, 20 years and don't know how to take off certain things, and they're using the wrong tool to take it off. And, you know the secret on which chemical is going to take it off in less than 5 minutes. And, you know, this is the biggest thing. That's actually the biggest thing, that, you know, knowing how to dilute the chemicals and what chemicals to use on what surfaces, and, you know.
Okay, you know,
all that stuff.
I see a lot of people always saying, I need help with blueprint reading, I need help with blueprint reading. You know, how important do you think it is for someone to know how to read a blueprint?
To be honest with you, honestly, I never received a blueprint, because I always walk into the job site.
Yes.
Me personally, and if you're not able to walk into a job site, I would have somebody go in there and take pictures of it, so you could be able to look at those job sites yourself. Just because it's the square footage that you see on the blueprints, that's just the ground. You're not looking at what's in the ceiling.
Exactly.
And your pricing is gonna vary from, you know, the ground and the ceiling is a whole different thing. So you want to visualize your game plan as soon as you step into the building or the, you know, your project.
Wow.
So blueprints is really, to be honest with you, it's not really important to me, at
mm-hmm.
least.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just where I go, based out of the, you know, just because of all the experience that I have. Well, not all the experience, but the experience that I have under my belt. And it's just, I've walked into so many stores already that I know what to expect on each one. It just varies on the superintendent, on how clean they are, and if they really cover the floor or if they didn't cover the floor.
Mm.
And if they didn't cover the floor, I know I need to bring more more aggressive chemicals to be able to pick out the dust. So just really depends. But I honestly don't think looking at blueprints is really important. But okay, that's just my personal opinion.
Okay. All right. So what is the average pricing for your jobs in your location that you can get away with?
You know what? My on average on my jobs, I go anywhere from $3,500 to $6,600, and that's on average on what I'm going and what I'm concentrating on right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking either this year or next year I'm trying to start heading up to the $10,000 to $15,000 jobs.
Mm.
But just finding those right contractors, it's pretty difficult because they've already been working with other companies that have been around.
Yes, have been established, right? Okay, so if I were a newbie in post-construction cleaning, what would be some things that you would tell me from the door, you know?
Buy a lot of tools. Prepare yourself as far as tools, because your tools are going to make your employees' jobs a lot easier than you having to go through, having a lot of elbow grease and, you know, wearing down your employees.
Mm.
Just being prepared as far as tools.
Do you offer any of your employees incentives?
You know what? As of right now, I don't.
Okay.
What I do tell them is, like, if we finish the, you know, there's certain projects that I know that we can finish under 8 hours.
Mm-hmm.
And if I tell them, you know, if we finish the project under 8 hours, then we get paid in 8 hours.
Okay.
So I guess that's in a way it's an incentive for them to work a little bit harder. But at the same time, you get the project done right.
Okay. So what do you think that your unique selling proposition is? Is it your charm? Is it your knowledge? Is it your skill set? Your experience? Is it your logo, you know?
I believe my selling proposition and my business is going to be, you know, the experience that I have when I walk into a job site. I know what to tell the superintendent on what they're looking for.
Because
not a lot, like I said, not a lot of people can detail it out, and people can hear, I don't know, what knowledge you have on these job sites, you know. Like I said, it goes back to the whole detail thing and explaining the process on how you're going to clean the project.
Mm-hmm.
And that goes based off you're not going to clean the same way that you clean a McDonald's than that you would clean a Cinemark, movie theater. So, you know, a movie theater is a little bit more detailed. You know, you have dust on the walls. So you're obviously going to concentrate more on the walls.
Hmm.
Then actually, you know, concentrating more on the kitchen as compared to, you know, McDonald's. You got to concentrate more on the kitchen just because of the health inspection.
Okay.
So it's a little different. It varies from job to job.
I got you. Wow. You bring so much information. I just want to ask you if you can just share your YouTube, your company name, your email, your website link.
Oh, everything's on. I have Facebook,
okay,
and I also have the Blue Book. You could just look me up on thebluebook.com. I believe it is AGPCS.
Okay.
But on Facebook, it's facebook.com/AGPCS, and everything's on Facebook.
Okay.
I only use those two right now, as of right now. I don't have an administrative assistant. I'm looking into that, man. I'm trying to, you know, step up my game as far as being an administrative assistant so I could just start making a little bit more.
I got you, man. Hey, Julio, I just want to thank you for your time. I know that the PCC group and anyone that's listening to the PCC podcast is going to be very thankful, and they're going to enjoy all the information you provided. You know, if you could just shoot your email, if you could just, like, say your email, so that other people can get connected if they may have some questions for you.
Yes,
I just want to thank you, man.
Yeah, well, my email is jadxao@gmail.com. And my phone number is 909-659-7630. And that would be a much better way to connect with me through the cell phone.
Okay, Julio. Thank you so much, bro. This has been a certified PCC podcast. Cheers.